What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Kurt and Bob Show. He's Kurt. I'm Bob. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd. Curtis, we have the draft in T-minus 2 days. T-minus, you know, honestly, like a day and a half at this point.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, we have today and then all day tomorrow. Well, yeah. About 2 days. Who am I kidding? Yeah, 2 days.
We want to be there faster.
Wow. Rapidly approaching, Curtis. Anyways, we got a lot of draft talk going on today. We'll come back at you guys tomorrow again with a mock draft, the Kurt Bob mock draft. We do it every single year. Yep, the official mock draft. So, but we got a lot to talk about today. A lot of rumors swirling. A lot of things that we've seen on Twitter. We've heard. But yeah, basically, we're just going to be our draft narratives episode. What we think about what we've heard. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah,
we've got some headlines to hit. Not really. I mean, the big one, I guess, is Andy Reid getting an extension through 2029.
And the GM and the president. That's right. Yeah.
Correct.
Good cat. That was yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday afternoon, I think. I mean, seems pretty. I mean, that's news, but it's not, right? Like, that's about as obvious
right.
as it gets.
It's expected. Yeah. It's expected.
I would hope that.
After you go on the Super Bowl run that you have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely expected. I'm sure Chiefs fans are happy Andy Reid's sticking around for a while. Because, you know, he's aging, but apparently he's aging like a fine wine.
Of course.
and it just continues to get better and better and better. And but, yeah, you know, he's getting up there in age, and we've seen some guys, you know, call it quits. I mean, there's even been rumors of Sean McVay retiring for the last, like, three seasons,
yeah,
and he's,
true.
Like, 30 years old. Yeah. Like, so, anyways, yeah, good for Andy Reid, good for the Chiefs.
Yep.
That's pretty much the only headline, Curtis. And then we'll kind of get into our draft narrative segment here, right now. We'll try to keep this one around 30 or so minutes here for you guys. So we can get in and out of here, and then we'll hit our mock draft tomorrow. But JJ McCarthy is rumored to be slipping, in my mind, slipping into the first round, slipping in, this is mind-boggling, even further into the top 10. And now even more mind-boggling, even rumored to be possibly slipping into the top 5 picks of the NFL draft.
This is
getting out of hand. This is I don't know what your thoughts are on JJ McCarthy. I mean, we've discussed it a little bit. You know, this is a little bit surprising, I feel like, for both of us. I'm not a JJ McCarthy fan at all. I think whoever takes him, if you take him in the top, he is not a first round pick. He is not.
Yeah.
If JJ McCarthy, I've been thinking about this. If JJ McCarthy is a top 5 pick, what would that make Carson Beck? Carson Beck would be a top 3 pick. Like,
yeah, next year's class, especially because that's a week. I mean, that could be Beck, Sanders, and Ewers at 1, 2, 3 next year. Like, we got some quarterbacks coming out next year still too. Like, it's not near the class
insane.
We have now, but I mean,
I'm just.
You are right.
It makes me sick. Makes me sick.
It's a really, and you know, I've listened to every personality and every take I can find online to try and understand. Because like I'm not, you know, I watching the last two seasons of JJ McCarthy, I would think, yeah, he's in the same tier as Bo Nix for me. Like he's right there. You know, there's a chance he could be good based off pure measurables, right? And based off. You know, the big argument for him is just he makes every third down throw. That's the statistic that everybody loves, is the 3rd and 14, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15, when the, you know, opposing team knows they're throwing the ball. Everyone loves that statistic. I just can't. I don't know. Maybe it's us being anti-Michigan, but after this season, maybe it's that. But like, I myself can't really wrap my head around JJ McCarthy. Measurables there, absolutely. Like, you know, definitely there. You know, he's got, you know, sure, the third. It's just so hard to argue for him, especially this year when, you know, there's just games I can't get, you know, Bowling Green can't get it out of my head. Penn State can't get it out of my head. The TCU game in the where literally, you know, that's the interesting part. Maybe that's a coaching adjustment. Is people with the Penn State game, hey, we don't need to pass the ball. We're just gonna run it. That was the whole narrative, right? That's the whole, hey, we're gonna. It's like, well, why didn't y'all do that against TCU last year? Because you should have done the same thing when McCarthy was throwing pick six after pick six. So. You know, I'm honestly a little higher on Roman Wilson than I am J.J. McCarthy, because watching some of the J.J. McCarthy highlights, I am seeing a wide open recording of Roman Wilson just flying across the middle of the screen wide open. Like, he is honestly, like, I wasn't a big fan of him coming into the process, but the more I've watched of him, I'm like, okay, he could be a legitimate slot guy. We'll see. He catches a lot, but, you know, I just can't. And again, maybe it's the stubbornness. Maybe it's just the, you know, this is what people were saying about Herbert out of Oregon years ago, is, oh, we can't shake this game or that game. Shoot, even C.J. Stroud last year, right? It was hard to talk about C.J. Stroud and completely shake that Michigan-Ohio State game when he completely fell apart. So I'm okay being wrong with this. I'm okay being wrong with it. I'm with you, Bob. I just can't see the NFL translation when this guy, like, he's not, man's never had pressure in his face. The man's never, like, had to make that big, I don't know, like, the intangible experience isn't there for me to just buy into the, hey, this guy's got all the tangibles and he's, you know, he makes good third down throws. I can't do it. That's my, yeah. That are my full thoughts on JJ. I'm not even trying to be a hater of him. I just can't believe how hot, like, some people are saying the Patriots now. I mean, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors this week, like this last weekend and everything, but I don't know, Bob. I can't wrap my brain around it.
I don't understand how GMs and teams convince themselves into drafting a guy like a J.J. McCarthy in the early rounds. Like, I understand you have to take desperate a quarterback. Like if you're desperate for a quarterback, yeah. But how do you convince yourself that this is the guy? Because you're just going to be doing the same thing. If you get it wrong, you're just going to be doing the same thing again next year. So why not, like, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. Yeah, you need a quarterback. But, like, I would much rather sit there and wait to take a guy who I'm, like, a little bit more iffy on and not trade up in the first round. Like, take a guy who's going to be there for you at wherever your spot is.
That's the thing, is the resources. Yeah, you don't want us to turn into a Trey Lance. I don't think anyone would be mad if Minnesota took McCarthy at I believe it's 12, right? So that's I think that'd be fine. And quite honestly, Minnesota is the best landing spot of all these teams. I mean, they lost Kirk and they lost a great pass rusher, but that playoff caliber team is still sitting there in Minnesota with Hockenson, Jordan Addison, and Justin Jefferson, and a solid O-line and a defense that got better throughout the year. So could J.J. McCarthy look good in Minnesota? Yeah, I mean, he's got as much of a chance as Caleb Williams does, I would say, just based off, we always forget. It is a team game, right? It is 11 on offense, 11 on defense. So, you know, if J.J. goes from Michigan to Minnesota, that's definitely going to be more familiar for him in terms of, you know, hey, I've got everything I need here. I don't need to overthink it or do anything extra, right? So I get that side of the coin as well. And, you know, maybe it really is just the time we're in, Bob, because the quarterback position, as we saw last year, you know, we lose Kirk, Aaron Rodgers, Anthony Richardson, Joe Burrow. You know, we lost some big names last year, and we saw what's after them is like, oh, this league isn't too deep at quarterback right now. I mean, we've got our guys in the AFC, right? But the NFC was just absolute, you know, you've got, like, last year was easily the weakest MVP race we've had in a long time. And as we all know, the quarterback position is the MVP race. So it's like, wow, mate, you know, I guess that is what is causing this desperation, right? That and the Vikings really don't, you know, they have Sam Darnold on a year contract, right? But are you really going to just take, you know, two, you know, a defensive player and another offensive player at 12 and 23 and just roll with Sam Darnold? Like, I think you, as the Vikings, have to take the quarterback, but I don't think you trade up for it. I totally agree with you. I think giving a bunch of resources, especially to the Chargers, don't give Harbaugh even more picks. He's going to go crazy in this year's draft. Yeah. He was with all these players, so
yeah.
So it's wild.
Yeah, and you mentioned Harbaugh and Minnesota and the Chargers, and there's been some steam around. You know, you mentioned Minnesota being a great landing spot for J.J. McCarthy. Well, he may not end up going to Minnesota from what, you know, has been swirling around. We've heard that Justin Herbert, potentially, there's some steam around him getting traded to the Vikings. And then the Chargers taking J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh, you know, having J.J. McCarthy under him again. And, oh my gosh, I just... It's insane.
That would be the biggest. That would be the biggest draft day trade I think in history. I'd have to go back and like see, but if that is not just pure smoke and mirrors, and this is something, you know, they'd obviously have to figure out the money, right? Because Herbert's like on the hook for however many hundreds of millions. So if that were to happen, money is going to be the issue, if anything. But you know, they can always work that out, as we've seen in the past. So. It'll be interesting, but yeah, that would be insane, Bob, if we went, because you know that would definitely include, the rumors are it would include Christian Darrisaw, I believe, like the Vikings best offensive tackle. So boom, Chargers get a tackle. You're definitely getting both first rounders this year, and Lord knows what else on top of that, right? Maybe a second, and then a second from next year, maybe another first from next year as well. With Herbert's age and, you know, projected ceiling that he's, you know, he's gotten to a few times, but he just hasn't been able to cash on it yet. So Minnesota, I mean, Herbert and Minnesota that's the NFC North is all of a sudden the scariest division in all of football with Caleb Williams, Jordan Love, oh my gosh, Jared Goff, and then Justin Herbert. That would be something to watch, that's for sure. I don't know. That one is crazy. That one is crazy. There are some sources saying it, and there are, you know, multiple. It's not just CTE, ESPN, if you guys are in on the Twitter news there, but it's really, really interesting. That is, you know, that is seem to be, even if that doesn't happen, Minnesota and the Chargers seem to be the two that apparently there is the trade is already in place. They're just waiting for draft day, waiting to see what happens for the Vikings to move up to number five, it would be. So really, really interesting there. And you wonder if that does happen, Bob. I mean, how far are some of these receivers going to drop? Because the Cardinals yesterday said that their pick is on the table. I mean, if we go 1, 2, 3, 4 at quarterback and then offensive tackle, I mean, we might have Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison fall into, you know, the Titans, the Falcons, the Bears, like, and that, the Jets, that's scary territory.
Yeah.
Like, for such talent, for talent like that to drop all the way there.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy to see how this thing shakes out.
Yeah.
But Chargers are sitting at 5 right now.
Yep.
If they don't trade down, if they don't work out something with Minnesota or any other team, mm-hmm. Who do you think they take at 5, and vice versa, if they do trade, who do you think, what QB goes at 5 to the Vikings?
If it were me,
give me your thoughts.
Yeah, if it were me, I still believe Brock Bowers, for whatever reason, has just been washed away in this draft process. I don't know what's it like. He's still, in my mind, like a top five talent in this draft period. You know, Harbaugh wants a tight end. You know, they need a tight end in L.A. They signed Hayden Hurst to a one-year deal this offseason, but that's about the only move they've made there. Shoot, Hayden Hurst has been on 5 different teams in the last 5 years. He really hasn't been able to, you know, stick it anywhere. So,
yeah,
I would love to see them just say, hey, screw it, we're going to take Brock Bowers here. There's a lot of noise around Joe Alt, though, too. Because if Joe Alt's there, you know, people are just assuming Joe Alt is going to fall to the bottom, you know, to the end of the top 10, right? But if the Chargers could easily just say, oh, the best left tackle on the board, and, you know, we already have a pretty good offensive line, but this would make it probably top 5 in the NFL, shoot, let's take it, right? And Harbaugh's all about, you know, gap scheme running, build it in the trenches. You know, Herbert's going to be handing it off a lot more. We can, you know, if he is staying in LA, Herbert is going to be handing it off a lot more than he's used to. But that'd be interesting. And then Minnesota, I mean, if they trade up to five, I would love to see them take Michael Penix. I would, because that would just be so funny. That would just be so, and I would love it because love Penix. But it's just based on the fact that there's been zero noise about any other player. I have to just go JJ McCarthy. I have to go chalk. With it.
That's unless something weird happens where Jaden Daniels hasn't been interviewing well, or that whole situation, whatever that is. He somehow slips to five or whatever. I don't know. But because trust me, I think a lot of people would much rather take Jaden Daniels over JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, and that's not even all 32 teams. Yeah, all 32 teams. Definitely.
Yeah. Then there's Jim Harbaugh, who actually was like, you know what? No, I'm taking JJ's the best quarterback in this draft. Let me tell you what.
He would do that.
Yeah, he would. If he had won one right now, I think he would go JJ McCarthy.
he would double down. I have full faith.
Speaking of Jaden Daniels, he was, you know, he's a potential pick to the Patriots. Not really sure what the whole situation is with the Commanders and the Jaden Daniels, and it's just there's a bunch of drama. Apparently Jaden Daniels wasn't getting the attention, the one-on-one attention that his team wanted, or his group,
this one is the weirdest. And I'm like 99% sure it's smoke and beers, but I've seen reports as far as Jaden Daniels' camp is, you know, was insulted that there was 12 other people at his, you know, at the 30 visits, which if you don't know at home, just a quick, you know, every NFL team is allowed to have 30 rookies in the draft come visit their facilities, spend the whole day with them, dinner, everything, the whole deal. Some people use it for their first rounders, like the Bears used it for Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams actually went out to eat with the players. So you can pretty much lock that pick in. He is absolutely going to be drafted by the Bears, if you had any doubt. And then other teams use it for, you know, maybe their first round guy, or maybe, hey, we don't need any more research on this first round guy. Let's go to these third, fourth, fifth, you know, let's figure out more about these guys. Cause that's what every former coach and everything, that is what they bring up. The 30 visits are the most important for them in this process. Cause it helps you a lot more with your draft board than just the quick interviews at the combine. Right. So apparently on this 30 visit, it's Jaden Daniels, it's all the other quarterbacks, it's a bunch of other players. So Jaden Daniels was like, hey, what the hell? Well, reportedly, Jaden Daniels is saying, hey, what the hell? I thought I was going at two to you guys. So there's apparently turmoil there. I've seen reports where it's just turmoil and it's fine, they're still going to pick him. And then I've seen as far as Jaden Daniels has informed the Commanders he's going to pull an Eli Manning if they take him at two, which an Eli Manning at two, that after which would be wild if we had that to kick off the draft this year. So I don't know how much water I can put in the bucket of, like, believing those reports, but, I mean, it's something, right? It's out there, Bob, so I don't know. I would hope that's not true, because Jaden Daniels, I think, would make an immediate impact in Washington, and they've done a pretty good job this offseason, even though a lot of older players, they have still, you know, built a roster. They have a roster that's ready to, you know, go out there and hopefully compete a bit, so... You know, we'll see. Brand new coaching staff, too. So Washington is is going to be brand new next year. If Jaden Daniels does, in fact, go to Washington, you will not recognize anything except for Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. That's all you'll recognize.
Yeah. But, you know, if he does not go to the Commanders, there's, you know, steam around him going to the Patriots at three.
Yep.
But do the Patriots trade down? Do they take the best available QB or the best offensive line, wide receiver, and just kind of stick it out with Bailey Zappe and Jacoby Brissett? Like, what do you see the Patriots doing? In my mind, it's a lock for them to take a quarterback. Now, I could see them trading down and just kind of figuring it out with, but they don't have Bill Belichick anymore. So Bill Belichick's not really running the ship anymore. This isn't let me just make a Bill Belichick pick and pick some guy from North Southeast State West University who looks really good on film. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that era anymore. So
this will be a brand new
really
Patriots. Yeah.
Yes, I do see them taking a quarterback at three. If they do trade down, they probably still take a quarterback. In the I don't know. I guess I've seen the Giants potentially want to move up. I've seen, you know, even the, I guess the Vikings would even like to move up. I guess that would be a good spot for them. I would rather take, like I said, Jaden Daniels at three. You know, if they do trade down, there's still going to be quarterbacks around for them to pick. Maybe a Bo Nix, maybe a Michael Penix. I mean, what do you see them doing? Like I said, QB at three, take Jaden Daniels, and then move on. Like, that's my idea. But thoughts?
I mean, this is why I'm so excited for the draft, Bob. We don't have a clue what, you know. Let's say two is just smokescreen and it's Jaden Daniels. We don't have a clue what the Patriots are doing. I think Drake May would honestly be a good pick into the Patriots situation. Yep. And just don't do the Tua Fitzpatrick thing. Don't, like, fully commit to the Mahomes-Alex Smith with Jacoby Brissett. Let Jacoby get in there. Listen, he's going to get beat up. Jacoby's probably on that last year or two of his career anyhow. Let Jacoby be in there. Just let Drake May learn for a whole year. And I hate saying this because this is good advice to a division rival who I never want to see good again. So in my opinion, they should throw Drake May to the Wolves in week one. But in reality, they should really let him sit behind Jacoby Brissett, let him pick it up, and, you know, see what they've got next year. And not only that, but, you know, assuming I would imagine Jacoby Brissett wins anywhere between 4 and 6 games, I still wouldn't say the Patriots are that close to winning a lot of games. Like, you know, we've talked about it on the pod before already, is they're far more than a quarterback away from winning. You know, you still have a great pick next year, right? So if you get the best receiver or the best tight end or the best offensive lineman next year to, you know, then help Drake May in that second year transition to the starter. So I think that makes the most sense. That'd be quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, just like back in 2021 with Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson. This class, I think, is a bit more talented than that one. We'll see. I would hope it's not the 2021 draft class in terms of what has resulted with all of those players. Justin Fields and Mac Jones included. But it's, you know, it's interesting. The Patriots, there's so much talk about everyone wanting to move down, Bob, that I feel like we might get a pretty chalky first 5 or 6 picks. Because there's, I don't think, outside of, you know, the Vikings, I don't know if anyone's really trying to move up that bad, because there are so many great players in this draft. I think people are going to be very content to just stay at their pick and take the best guy who falls to them, or take who they want. So we'll see what the first run is. The first run is probably going to be on receivers, and people might hit the panic button just like they did last year, and we'll see 4 or 5 receivers go in a row. But with the Patriots, I think it would be smart for that. You know, my boss and his boss, they're big Patriots fans too. I've been saying this to them since January. I'm like, just take Drake May and sit him. Just take Drake, you know, because he's not ready. He's not ready to start. That seems to be the consensus around the league. You know, he could start. He's going to make a lot of mistakes, and, you know, maybe that'll be better for him in the long run too. But for the moment, just Patriots, just take Drake May. Don't overthink it. But if they get a haul, Bob, who knows? You know, like you said, this is a brand-new Patriots regime, so we have no clue how aggressive or how passive they're going to want to be in this process at the number 3 pick.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to hit this into 2 minutes, and then I'll get your thoughts on it. We'll get into the Falcons tampering investigation in a little bit. But we'll go ahead and move on to our fact or fiction. We got a little fact or fiction segment here. Kind of some things that we discussed.
Yep.
And we'll get our solidified, you know, our answers, fact or fiction, on whether or not we think, you know, these things are fact or fiction.
Yep.
Obviously, as the name states. So, Curtis, give me thoughts. Chargers will trade Herbert to Minnesota and draft J.J. McCarthy at 5. Fact or fiction?
Fiction, but I'm gonna be so mad if it's fact, because I want to believe it so bad, and I want to say yes, but I have to say fiction. I have to.
I got fiction. There's no way. There's no way that you're giving up Justin Herbert. There's no way. That'd be the dumbest move of all time. Boneheaded move for J.J. McCarthy. Think about it. You're basically, I mean, obviously there's gonna be pick exchange, but you're basically exchanging Justin Herbert for JJ McCarthy. And I just, that is mind boggling to me. It is, that is the epitome of.
He could work in a Harbaugh offense. Dumb. We've seen it.
God bless, dude. And go get JJ McCarthy after he fails in Minnesota for 3 years and then make a trade like a Mac Jones.
Yeah,
you give
exactly.
a back picks away from him. And then JJ comes over and I guess he
Revive
turns
his
into. Yeah, I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
Do that. Do not waste. Yep. Do not. Don't. Anyways, Commanders, Jaden Daniels, will they take May at 2 instead of Jaden Daniels? I mean, what are your thoughts on the Commanders? Do you think Jaden Daniels goes at 2 or you think it's going to be Drake May?
I really hope that is fiction. I hope that's just smoke and mirrors and everything because I think Caleb, Jaden, Drake would be the nicest looking top 3 and make the most sense for all 3 teams. But we've seen crazier things in this draft process. So, you know, I'm gonna say fiction, but again, guys, like, you know, draft night, everything goes out the window. It just is haywire. So, it's awesome.
It's like the NFL teams don't even remember the past 12 yeah. months of what they just saw.
Yeah, it just shows desperation mode. Yeah. Hit the panic button, and then teams that sit and wait for them to hit the panic button, they're the ones who always benefit in the end, yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll be May at 2. And Ooh. I really don't think that it has anything to do with the Jaden Daniels situation. I just think that, I don't know, just from everything I've seen, I feel like Drake May to the Commanders, and I agree with you. I think the Jaden Daniels to the Commanders makes the most sense, and then Drake May to the Patriots makes the most sense. You can flip-flop those, and it makes a little bit less sense for those two respective teams, but... I think with the new era with Mayo in New England, I think they're looking to switch some things up. I think they would love Jaden Daniels, and I personally, Jaden Daniels he's 1B quarterback in this draft for me. I love Jaden Daniels. I've been sitting here pounding on the desk for the Falcons.
You were early on this year too. Yeah,
months ago saying Falcons trade up to get Jaden Daniels. I was like, I hope he's going to be there at 8 for us. Well, he's not going to be. So now, do not trade up to get Jaden Daniels. All due respect, Atlanta Falcons. We have Kirk Cousins now. So, I think it'll be May at 2. I'll probably be wrong, but
that's okay.
I just feel like May at 2. That's just what I'm feeling in this moment in time. So, anyways, there's a potential for there to be 4 straight quarterbacks off the board and 6 drafted in the first round, which is just insane to be thinking about right now. 4 quarterbacks in the first 4 picks.
Yeah,
fact or fiction, Curtis, you think it's going to happen?
What do you think? I'm going to say fact on it. It's never happened in history. So why not Thursday? Let's do it. Let's do it for the first time.
Yeah.
Let's go Cardinals trade out of there and somebody trades up to 4 and they get a quarterback.
As we've seen,
you know, the Giants are kind of the Trojan horse here. They're going really under the radar, but the Giants, I don't think they're comfortable with really half their football team. Maybe they want to start a quarterback. Maybe they take people keep mocking receivers to them. Like, who's not to say the Giants don't take a tackle? You know, they should take a receiver, but who's to say? Like, we really don't know what the Giants are going to do because, you know, people in New York, I know, are very – ups, like Evan Neal has not panned out from a few years ago, the Bama tackle. And meanwhile, they have on the other side of their line Andrew Thomas, who is the second coming of Christ, the O-line, right? Like he is unbelievable. So, you know, maybe they patch that up and, you know, get like a Rattler or somebody in the later in this draft. But yeah, the Giants are a Trojan horse. I don't know. I'm gonna say fact. I wanna see 4 straight quarterbacks go off the board, and I want to watch everyone's jaw drop, and then I want to see.
And you think
mayhem?
6 in the first round?
Yeah, six in the first round for sure.
Spencer Rattler was a sneaky name. I take Spencer Rattler over JJ McCarthy. I don't even know why I wasn't even thinking about that.
That's not even that crazy, honestly.
I feel like Spencer Rattler. I can make an argument that Spencer Rattler is one of the more NFL ready quarterbacks in this draft, and I hated Spencer Rattler.
He's been given his humble pie already. Him. Well, that's, I will yes. say that's a good thing in my eyes.
Thank God.
He's been humbled and he turned it around.
Biggest headache, bro. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I couldn't stand him. Just the pass, like literally the first, I mean, basically ever since he's been in college, I couldn't stand him.
He
this
was
past year,
yeah.
bearable. He was, yeah, he was bearable this year. So, yep. Anyways. Mostly because Xavier Leggett was making it fun to watch on that team. The only yeah. fun two on that team.
True.
Anyways, yeah, I think, oh man, four straight quarterbacks is insane. Sure, I'll say
let's
yes for fun.
Yeah, let's run it.
I'll say yes. And six in the first round, yeah, I think so. people are going to freak out. People are going to freak out. People are going to trade in. People are going to take quarterbacks. Yeah. It's just... it's gonna happen. It's gonna. It's six in the first.
I could see five if Bo Nix does slip out. Like that could happen. But I want six. I want to see people just hit the panic
yeah.
button. Just go quarterbacks
yep.
all the way.
yep. Now, six quarterbacks in the first round. Do we see seven wide receivers to be drafted in the first round, Curtis? That one's
this,
a little bit
yeah, this
that's
I
a hefty
is,
number.
Yeah, this I think is fiction. This is the Vegas number. And it, well, 6.5, and I believe the under is the heavy favorite, and I'm inclined to agree here. So I'm gonna say fiction on seven
yeah.
receivers in the first round. Simply because of the depth. I mean, this quarterbacks and offensive tackles are going to make up, you know, 10 to 15 picks of this top of the first round, right? That leaves all your top defensive talent. That leaves Brock Bowers. That leaves, you know, a lot of other receivers here, you know, Marvin Harrison. So I think we're just going to run out of picks to have seven go off
yeah,
board. I think there,
for sure.
there are probably six or seven worthy of a first-round grade or very high second-round grade, but I think we're going to run out of picks because the run on offensive tackle is going to happen because there's, like, feels like five guys and then woof, big drop off. So I think
yeah.
that's not gonna happen. So fiction on seven.
Yeah. This is fiction for me too. I could see some guys slipping into the first round, like interchangeable names, like, you know,
yep.
maybe like a Ladd McConkey sneaking into the first
oh, gosh,
round
totally.
Instead of like a Keon Coleman, you know, things of that nature where one guy falls out of the top, you know, 32 picks, but another guy slips his way in. But I don't think that there are seven that you can write seven guys' name in on that board.
Yeah, I've got one name in the back of my head for our mock draft tomorrow that I'm going to surprise you with. But it's on some good sources.
All right, there you go. But yeah, that's about it for our fact or fiction segment. We'll hit our 2-minute drills here, Curtis, and get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Let me pull out my phone here
yeah.
for this Falcons one, and I'll address the tampering situation as well. 2 minutes on the clock.
Yep.
Starting now.
Beautiful.
Falcons, I would love to see us trade down out of that 8 pick. I've been saying this for a long time. And I've actually started to hear, it's like that the FBI has tapped my phone and they've started to hear it and then they've fed it to the Falcons because I've been hearing some things around them potentially trading down. Now that's just pure speculation. It's Twitter speculation. It's all this, that, and the other. So there's nothing really to support any of that. Of course, it's the Trust Me Bro guys on Twitter. So I would love to see them trade down. Don't take an edge guy. Don't take Dallas Turner at 8. Wait, please wait. Please wait. I mean, you can get Latu. I mean, you could even get Chop Robinson. I like Chop Robinson a lot. You can get Chop Robinson so late. Please wait. Anyways, this last minute, I guess I can even – I don't even really need a minute for the whole situation with the tampering. I don't think the NFL will get anything done before the draft for this whole tampering thing. Yeah, fingers crossed. There's no way they can take a first away for this whole entire situation.
No.
I guess the NFL can really do – they can do whatever they want to, I guess, in this situation. But I think they're really coming down hard on – if they do something drastic like take away picks, they can take away some picks. Take away, like, you know, some of the late rounds. That's fine. But don't – there's no way that you can take away a first, second, or even a third in my mind for something silly like this. It would be dumb. And Kirk Cousins was always going to be an Atlanta Falcon. And yeah, I just, anyways, Falcons trade down out of 8. If you stay at 8, I really don't know what to do with you. I don't know what to tell you to do. I don't have any advice for you. Just it's going to be Dallas Turner. It's going to be an edge guy. That's Turner 2 minutes. Yep. Yeah, that's the end of that. Curtis, give me your thoughts on the tampering situation here before you get into your 2 minutes.
Completely silly. Just silly. It's a joke. Like as a Dolphins fan, you know, it does make me giggle a little bit because, you know, I've talked to one of my buddies, Josh, you know, loyal listener of the show, and I've actually had some other friends from Athens that have texted about it as well, and I'm like, listen, you guys aren't going to get Dolphins. Like, the Dolphins had Tom Brady on a yacht with, like, Sean Payton on a phone. Like, Brian Flores just completely snitched, caught Stephen Ross red-handed. That's why Miami lost a first-rounder. And then a second rounder the year after. And then I believe our third is gone this year from that investigation too, which is just
that's insanity.
Just disgusting. So yeah. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, man. Glad you're enjoying your defensive coordinator position in Minnesota, bro. So anyways, thanks a lot, Brian. But yeah, no, I this is silly because as far as I know, the agent and the team had already agreed on the deal. The deal was there. This was Kirk Cousins driving down from Minnesota to Atlanta, and he just had a slip-up in his press conference where he said, yeah, I was talking to the trainers here on my drive down, because he's recovering from an Achilles tear, right? So that's – I don't know. Like, yes, I get it. You know, even though they're trainers, there's still people that can, you know – what's the NFL worried about, right? Like bets. They're worried about bets. They're worried about all that. They're worried about, you know, just, you know, like similar to the NBA, they're worried about just people getting a head start when they shouldn't be. You know, everyone needs to be focused on their team until they're officially traded to the next team. But I don't know. I think it's silly. Y'all should lose like a third, fourth. If they do a second, that would be harsh. But, you know, you just take that bullet and you move on. I think it's really soft. And the fact that Adam Schefter and Mike Florio are the ones like throwing gas on the fire makes me think it will be a lot less, because Adam Schefter and Mike Florio at this time of year are absolutely insufferable with misinformation and drama, because they're just grasping at any straw they can. So I really don't think it will be a massive problem for the Falcons. I hope not, and it shouldn't be. It definitely should not be.
Yeah. All right, Curtis. That's good to hear.
Yep.
Feel a little bit better. But give me your 2 minute drill on the state of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
They're looking to add here for this potentially this playoff
fun.
Ready.
Listen, this is fun.
The window's closing for the Dolphins. So give me your thoughts. Give me your 2 minutes. What do they do here in the NFL draft?
All right. So 2 minutes starting now. This is the most comfortable I've ever been in an NFL draft. As a Dolphins fan of my entire life, you know, I've watched this whiff on Deion Jordan. I've watched this whiff on Charles Harris. I've watched us trade up to the number 8 overall pick to draft Ryan Tannehill in a draft where Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson were taken in the third round. And, oh, I've just watched so many whiffs. But you know what? You know what I didn't mention? Any of these players over the last 4 years. Chris Greer has done, I guess, honestly, 5 or 6 years now, but Chris Greer's done an immaculate job. I have full faith in him that he will, you know, take a player who's going to help us. I would love a Byron Murphy at 20. I don't think he will fall to us because he's too good, but that would be just a wonderful, wonderful replacement after losing Christian Wilkins. You know, there's a little buzz around Xavier Worthy, which I don't love that. I mean, like, it would be fine. I'd be giggly about it because it'd be hilarious, because now we have three guys with, you know, 4.3, 4.2 speed. But at some point, you know, you got to run the ball too. So I don't know if we have enough targets to go around. We got plenty of targets already with Waddle and Tyreek. So, you know, don't need Xavier Worthy. That would be a total Mike McDaniel pick if we got that. And then the more chalk and what I would like is Jaxon Powers-Johnson, the center out of Oregon. That is my I need Jaxon Powers-Johnson. I'm so tired for the last 4 years of having just a bad center who never, like, we just never get the center position. Connor Williams was a good center last year, then he got injured, and it went to hell. So really just want a center to just bolster the depth chart and just have a center. Just have a guy. The Ravens have had the same center since they drafted him, right? Our boy Linderbaum. That's what I want for Miami.
Yeah.
So JPJ is my pick. rumors of an offensive good tackle pick. Too. J.C. Latham, Troy Fontenot, you know, there's a few names, but that'll wrap my 2 minutes. Very comfortable draft for the Dolphins. You know, they get a first and a second, so I'm excited to see what they do with it, and I just hope they D-line and O-line. I just want to see the trenches. Just help me in the trenches, please.
Yep. Well, we will find out here rapidly approaching, and Curtis, we can reflect that in our upcoming mock draft tomorrow. Sir. We've got the mock draft tomorrow, so everyone who's listening to this today or at some point this week or who even knows next week, listen to this and then immediately go listen or stay tuned to listen to our mock draft that is coming out tomorrow, Wednesday, April 24th. And then we've got the draft on Thursday. Well, the draft Thursday, Friday, and then, you know, throughout the weekend as well. But me and Curtis will be doing that mock, and then we'll kind of look back at everything that we got wrong next week.
Which we will get a lot wrong.
So,
Everyone does.
And so will everybody else. Yeah. So, but, you know, there's a few picks that we know are be the first overall pick in the draft. But anyways, stay tuned, guys. We will have some more content for you coming. Thank you for catching the Curtin Bob show, and stay tuned for tomorrow. The mock draft is coming, folks. Thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you guys later.
See you soon.